People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I'm in the back of Munson and Brothers doing a Skype call. I've got a Shake It Like a Caveman here with me. Blake, how you doing?
Great, man. How's it going today?
Hey, it's good. I was just to plug the festival real quick. I was out in the yard today getting the porch ready and getting the yard ready and getting everything bush hog and mowed. And it's gonna be beautiful weather Friday and Saturday. I'm hoping everybody will turn out.
Awesome, man. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. So Taylor Hollinsworth connected us, and you know, right when I heard the video that he had sent over to me, I was like, yeah, I gotta have this guy come, man. Huge fan of the music.
Hey, thanks.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about growing up. Where are you from?
I was born in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and then I grew up in the far eastern part of Tennessee in a place called Kingsport, Tennessee, in the Tri-Cities. And like pretty much, you know, 10 minutes from Virginia, all the states come together right there. So grew up there, and good place to be.
Yeah, right on.
Sure.
Yeah, I've been through Chattanooga a few times. Well, they got like Ruby Falls in that area. Is that right? One of the touristy things.
Yeah.
So, man, what about guitar and music? How'd it get into your life?
Well, I was lucky. I grew up in one of these neighborhoods where all the kids were riding bikes, playing football, and raising hell. And we had a neighborhood. So there were always some kids that were their older brothers had guitars and kind of more into the hippie kind of stuff, and they were always playing some Neil Young tunes and Crosby, Stills, and Tom Petty, Bob Dylan tunes, and we were always around those guys, and then you know, just piqued your interest, and it's like, oh man, wow, I want to do that. So everybody bought acoustic guitars, and we were all mowing lawns to make money. You know, you get your shitty little weed eater and your lawnmower and ride, push it around the neighborhood. That's how we made the money, and went to the local music store. Everybody bought guitars, and just stuck with it. That was, you know, when I was about 14 or 15. Yeah. And actually, I still play the same guitar I bought when I was a kid.
Nice.
So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. What kind you get?
I got a Mexican Stratocaster. I think I got like a Mexican Strat and this little Fender Champ, little mini tube amp, probably for, I don't know, like $350. I was stoked. It's like the most money I'd ever spent in my life. And, I'm a Strat guy and still rock that thing. So I think it was growing up in the neighborhood and being I was lucky to be surrounded by, you know, had an influence from the older guys, you know, that were doing cool stuff. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's sort of where the music thing got kicked off. And then, you know, as time went on, you know, I went through school and then I started getting pretty serious about music, you know, and just started playing more and more and more. And then. Yeah, and then the next thing you know, you're living in a van and traveling all around.
Yeah. So, man, just about those Mexican Strats, we had one. I lived down in Mobile for 6 years, and there was this. It was just a church guitar, and our band would play music for the youth group on Wednesday nights. And you know, one night we walk in the closet and we find this Mexican Strat. And, you know, they always say, you know, American, Mexican, and then what, Japanese?
Yep.
But there was something about this Mexican Strat, dude. It would outplay those American Strats, you know. I'd put it up against any of them. And it really didn't take it long for it to get popular. Like, folks was wanting to come play it and all this and that. And then next thing you know, it just comes up missing.
Oh, shit. I snagged it.
Yeah.
Oh, like, man. Yeah, those like, things.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It's wild how you, I don't know how it works, but you just kind of get used to one thing or you get used to it. And that's what you go with. And I just, do you still play a Strat?
I got a Telecaster right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's not even a Fender though. Like I want to get me a Fender. This is a Schecter model.
Sick.
Yeah, that thing's bad.
I always thought like I was gonna have to step up my hot licks before I got a telly.
Mm-hmm.
But great, man. Yep. So that was sort of the genesis of it all. And you know, we've just been completely obsessed with music. I'm still. You know, I was at the Goodwill this week. I was out in Carolina this week and picked up, I was stopping to get CDs at the Goodwill or whatever. I still have a CD player in my van. And mm-hmm. I've been listening to a Led Zeppelin record. I got Presence. So I've been getting the lead out. And it's that stuff that's just forever, man. It's that feeling. that you got, it's like that, and that don't go away.
Absolutely. So. Not, and it's important to get the lead out. What is it? Jack White said, if anyone says they don't like Led Zeppelin, I probably don't trust them.
Yep.
And there's something about that. You know, it's always fun when you see those just posts floating around on social media, and like, I guess they're trying to be edgy. It's like, I think Led Zeppelin's overrated. And I was like, you have lost everything. You have no rights to comment anymore.
The end. Locked.
Yeah.
That's just, it's epic. And it was just, you know, getting down with the CD and like listening to the whole thing through. You know, is great. You know, so I'm, you know, whenever I'm more mobile, I definitely want to sit down and listen to a whole record. And but yeah, so part of it was the sort of obsession with this rock and roll and rock and roll culture and you know, the classic rock stuff.
Yeah, and so like after you finished up high school, would you go on to pursue college, or you just would pursue music? What did that look like for you?
I did, yeah. So we're really close to Boone, North Carolina. So, and that back in those days, it was loaded with, that's where all the wild hippie folks were at. So we went over there, and I went to school in outside of Boone for a little bit, and then I ended up moving to Asheville, North Carolina, and I studied ecology and environmental science. So I did that degree. And great funny story about that. I was into the sort of sustainable development, building, studying like, you know, building houses and solar stuff. And
yeah,
got into this program in California, and we were out there, and it was after work. You know, it was like a trial thing. I was out 2 weeks to check the program out, and after work. We were playing guitar or hanging out, and people were like, what are you doing? Why aren't you playing guitar? You know, it sort of resonated with me. And I was like, well, yeah. You know, I guess I should. So it ended up, the money didn't come through for the school program. So I ended up, and that's about the time, you know, that I like really dug in, was starting to play, going from just kind of playing to like really putting a lot of time into it. And it wasn't until a few years later until Shake It Like a Caveman was born. So
yeah. What about that 2-year journey? Was that like, was it just falling into your own style and like being able to sit down with the kick drums and the whole kit, or like what was that like getting into?
Yeah, that? Well, it was initially just started out. I was doing some picking up work. I was just always traveled a lot and just done odd jobs and work. And I had a friend, we were working in a furniture store, and there was a drum set in the back of the store, and there was a bass in the store where some guys were jamming after work. And so I picked up the bass and started playing the drums and the bass at the same time. And I was like, oh, wow, that's really cool. And, then I had a friend that worked at a music store, and he was like turning me on to some like freaky one man bands. And I was like, wow, this is great. And then it just went from there. And then 15 years later, here we are. Or right more on. Now. I don't know.
Yes,
I lost count.
I haven't never really personally been in New York City, but I know it's a big thing up there for like, you know, the street musicians, for them to have like the whole show on rope kind of thing, to where, you know, it's a one man band. And so it's definitely a big culture. I haven't personally seen those types live. I'm thinking maybe first time I saw it was New Orleans or Memphis, just street performing like with folks doing that. And, you know, it always draws a crowd.
Yeah. And it's, getting to the point where, you know, over the years I've added, you know, you start adding, you start to kind of feel comfortable with things, and then you start adding something else. And then, you know, during this big break that we had the past couple of years, you know, I went from touring all the time to, you know, being in sort of in one location, or was sort of in a region. And it gave me a lot of time to dig in and like really add some new things. And you know, so I'm excited about my setup now, you know, as it's evolved over over the time, you know, with just the hardware. And I weld a little bit, so that allows you to make some crazy little gadgets and stuff like that. So yeah. And it's just that constant, it's like you're chasing a snowball down the hill, and it's just like, oh God, oh God.
Keep going.
Or yeah, you know, even with the live performances, it's like, you know, you're doing something and it's a little bit out of control, but then you can kind of rein it in, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And that's what the fun thing about the one man band is, you know.
That's a great way to put it, man. I've got a you'll meet him Friday. My buddy Dave Garrett, he's gonna play with me. And it's the first time that we've ever played live together. And, you know, we had one practice for it. And he's like, I don't want to practice again. I want to keep it on the edge of chaos. And it's like, we can either, you know, reign over it or just let it go. Whatever we need to do at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always when you're by yourself, it's a little bit. You know, that's one thing. When you're with other people, it can go like really can be really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, just musically, just let her rip. It's cool. Yeah, there's, you know, and then that brings up the other thing. You know, the other points of like the whole creativity and like, you know, does you know, the spontaneity and, you know, what comes from just the atmosphere and the vibe and can bring out some really cool stuff.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I'm trying to find that balance between, I play a lot, you know, I practice a lot, and I'm trying to like bust through into some new territory. So I still embrace that sort of chaos factor, but I'm still got putting my time in trying to, you know, learn some shit.
So, I mean, you said, you know, it started out, you were kind of in one area, it busted out, you were in a region. How did you get across the pond? How did Europe find out about you?
Well, there was a band, I don't know if you know these guys, there was a band called the Black Diamond Heavies. And they were based out of Chattanooga, one of the guys from Louisville. It was a duo, so it was Rhodes keyboard and drums, and it was hot as hell. It was like the thing I'd ever seen, and those were the only dudes I knew that were going. There was one other guy in Asheville, and so I just sent him an email. This was in 2009 or eight or nine, and I sent him an email and was like, hey, you know, how are you doing this, how are you going to Europe? And then he was super cool. He sent me some contact information for some folks that were in France, and the guy emailed me back. I was like, no way. And he said, you know, we got this, we have a festival, we got three shows for you. And I was like, okay, well, and it's sort of crazy to go to Europe for three shows, but I was like, you know what, well, I want to do this, you know. And I guess I'd saved up a little money and was bought the ticket and went for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I turned out to be an amazing us, and like made lifelong friends and people that I still am in contact with today, you know. So it was awesome. So it all started just with an email to his name's Van Campbell. And he's a rad dude. And actually John, the keyboard Rhodes guy for the Black Diamond Heavies, is doing his own thing now called he calls it James Leg. So if you ever get to see that, he's badass.
I don't look into that.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I just started with an email, and then, you know, it evolved into going, and then I started going up into 2019. I was going, usually staying for a month and a half or so in the summer, and then usually a month in, you know, from like November 15th to December 15th.
Mm-hmm.
So Italy, Switzerland, France, that's generally this, you know, Holland, Belgium, kind of in that zone, but kind of basing it out of France, and just made some killer friends going fishing while I'm over there. People say,
that's
you
cool.
Want to go fishing? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So just, I like to get out and camp and swim and hike and hang and stuff. And so, you know, on off days and stuff, that's what makes it like super cool, getting to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Eating good food. And I almost destroyed my first two visits because you don't know how to say no. And then you end up waking up at 4 a.m. and you're eating so much cheese that your body feels like it has cement running through your veins. And all these little things that you're like, okay, well, I should have said no to that, but I didn't. Anyway, you live and learn. And now it's just I'm stoked. I'm hoping that hoping to go back in August this year. So,
right on, dude. Yeah, because you know that's one thing. I have a few friends who get to go over to Europe usually about once or twice a year, like what you're talking about. You know, for a month at a time, and just to be able to over there to play. And I guess it's the way it's always been, even back with like the Stones or whomever. Is like if you're from the U.S., you'll be a bigger deal in Europe, and if you're from Europe, you'll be a bigger deal in the U.S. It seems like.
Yeah, it's like there's sort of like worlds, you know. There's like sort of genres that are that seem to resonate. I know that in at least with my experience in France and Italy, there have like 65 Chevys, and you don't have old trucks, and you don't have Elvis, and you don't have Jack Daniel, you know, all that stuff. So those are the things that I find that people are really, really interested in, and the fact mm-hmm. that, like, you know, the sort of stuff that you don't get there,
right,
seems to be appealing, you know, and the genre of music that I'm playing, you know, there's definitely when you go, you can see the different some differences, and the level of hospitality is awesome. So it's cool, and the kind of music I'm playing is, you know, sort of party dance music. So I guess I got lucky, and you know, generally in the U.S. and in Europe, people
usually
people are just like sort of party.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of like have fun with it. And that's another thing throw in on the record. But, you know, if you see it, you're like, oh, wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
So you get the visual element, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what about just like most memorable moments? I mean, you mentioned like going fishing or, you know, just some of the first takeaways of having to learn how to say no. What are some of your favorite experiences you've had, whether in the U.S. or over there?
Oh, man. Shoot. Yeah.
Big open question.
Well, I guess, yeah. I guess overall, like some of the coolest things that have happened are you know, this thing with music and art, how it sort of breaks down, like any sort of, it allows you to go to worlds that I wouldn't be able to see otherwise, you know, and access to things and meet people and form relationships that you wouldn't be able to have, you know. If I didn't have the music, then, you know, it would be more difficult. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like getting to go do stuff in the south of France, or like watching the Tour de France drive by, or being on somebody's boat, or, you know, just a number of different things that you get access to that you're just like, wow, okay, that's crazy. And it, you know, it's any time that you you know, always the food is out of control there, you know, the food's so good. And being in places where you know there's other folks that are playing, or you're able to see some cool shows, that's also great, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, things that are related to nature are usually pretty awesome. Getting to go hiking and going to somebody's secret little, you know, going to see caves or swim in crazy ass places, and yeah, all of it.
Right on. Well,
Well, dude, just to walk it up today, now that everything is opening back up and traveling and playing out is becoming more of the norm, is what about, you mentioned possibly going back over there in August. What about, what are some shows you got coming up? What part of the U.S. are you going to be in?
Well, right. So for now, I'm just doing some regional stuff. I am, I'll be coming out to, I'm in Chattanooga tomorrow night, and then I'll be at your place on Friday, and I'm super stoked about that. Got some shows just kind of in East Tennessee and Western North Carolina. And as the calendar unfolds, I'll have, you know, have some more stuff popping up.
So. Right on. And just for those listening, is there a Bandcamp, or have you got any places where people can go? Like, I know we can catch you on YouTube. Is there any CDs or records that you have made?
Yeah, definitely. So I have a website. It's just shakeitlikeacaveman.com. That's probably going to be the most comprehensive spot, and then it'll have all the links to everything else you can find. The 4 or 5 records, and actually we released a couple of them on a French record label called Beast Records, and then the past 2 that I've done, I've just been sort of busting them out on my own, recording with the guys out in Water Valley. Dial Back.
Oh yeah, Taylor Hollingsworth was just out there recently.
Yeah, awesome dudes. So this last project that I did some of the tracking out there with Bronson, and they got it going on out there. If you want to make a rock and roll record, that's the place to do it.
Yeah, it's been a big thing. They're doing mostly analog. Is that right? They're not doing a lot of digital recording.
Yeah, kind of doing both. He's got some sweet tape machines in there, and I just think the vibe of that studio is awesome, and there's been some great stuff cut in there, and got some great equipment. I'm sitting on a record right now. I've been, you know, and since 2019 I've been trying to evolve a little bit, branch out, do some stuff. So I've been trying to get my chops up playing some piano and some keys. So I've written a keyboard, kind of a synthy record. Mm-hmm. And it's been chipping away at that. So hopefully that'll be the next little thing that'll pop out. But you know what, man, I'd love to get down there and do something with Bronson and Matt Patton and get a little rock and roll vibe going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what's going to be next, is I've got to get this synth record I've got coming out. It's called Euthant Island, and then been writing some rock tunes, and it'll be time for that soon. So I guess people don't, you know, it's a big deal to from start to finish, the whole recording process, so I'm trying to be more you got to have good time management, I guess. Crank that out, you know.
Right on. Well, dude, let's see. I got 2 more questions for you, and then we'll part. Is just ways for people to connect with you on social media if they want to keep up with you. Is the best place going to be that website, or are you more active on like an Instagram or anything like that?
Yeah, probably the Instagram and the Facebook. My name is Blake Burris on the, you know, you can reach out on the Facebook on, that's the personal page, and then Shake It Like a Caveman. And then on Instagram, it's just Shake It Like a Caveman. Those are probably the ones that I'm the most active with.
Right on. And then last question is, what was your favorite part of this interview?
Favorite part of the interview?
Yeah.
I think you're I really love your, you have a nice southern accent. It's different than mine. It's nice.
Yeah,
I
heard you say roof, and I was like, he's not from Alabama.
No, we're from Appalachia, so we have a little bit of a different bit of a different thing going on, but it reminds me of all my cool homies that I'm super excited to see this weekend. I'm stoked to see Taylor and pumped to meet you guys. And I like to I like your story about the Strat. It's always nice. You look back and you're all of a sudden back in the eighth grade with the Eric Clapton poster and the Strat, and it still lives on, you know.
Yes, and I'm sure that Mexican Strat is living on somewhere.
Yeah, probably. His is probably an American Strat, but
yeah.
But the cigarette burning forever in the headstock.
That's just it. All right, Blake, I won't hold you up anymore. Thank you so much, man.
Stoked, dude. Hey, man, looking forward to this weekend. It's going to be rad.
Right on, man.
All right. Talk to you.
Bye.
Running on time on the highway, running on time on the night. Looks like things going my way, this time get it right, get it right. Black dog hanging in the backyard, fireworks in my hand. Good looking mama dancing, firing up the band. And wheels are burning, leather to my leg. Lying on window dancing, diamonds in my head. Running on time on the highway, running on time on the night. Looks like been going my way, this time get it right. Get it right, we get it right. We'll be right back.